this afternoon or this morning, we will be talking today about the rest of the story. We have been telling a story this past week, right? We've been telling a story, the story of our redemption, right? The story of Christ and his cross, Christ and him crucified. What does that mean? And the rest of the story actually is not the rest of the story like you're telling a story and, well, I'll tell you the rest tomorrow. No. The rest of the story, according to the title, is the rest of the story as it is in Christ. And that is what the Sabbath actually signifies, the rest of the story. And so, you know, we read here, and I need to get my monitor here. All right, so the verse says here in Genesis chapter 2, we say here, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished," right? "And on the seventh day, God ended his work," right, "which he has done," and what? "And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." What did God do? He blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. God blessed it by filling the day with his presence and putting a special blessing on that day, yes? And he sanctified it again by his very presence, set aside for holy use. Why? Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. You know, many times we talk about the negative aspect of the Sabbath, and there are negative aspects of the Sabbath, such as, you know, don't get the mark of the beast, you know, because that is all about worship, and it is opposite, right, to what the Sabbath truly means. And sometimes we talk about other things about the Sabbath, which are all true. But today we want to look at a little bit more about what the Sabbath truly really means for all people, right? For all people, because God did not give the Sabbath just to a group of people over here. God gave the Sabbath for how many people? For everybody, for all humanity. And so, as we see here in our next slide, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that are in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Of all the days in the week, God made the first day, he made the second day, the third day, and so on and so forth. But the Sabbath day, the seventh day, he gave a special name. He called it the Sabbath. Called it the Sabbath. That's the only day God gave a special name to. And why did God do that? Well, Psalm 111, verse 7 tells us, "The works of the Lord," the works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. In other words, God's Sabbath is a sign and a representation of God's work standing fast. When God created, yes, when God said, "Let there be," and there was, when he spoke things into existence every day of the week, on the Sabbath day, the Sabbath stands as a memorial that God's word and his works stand fast. And so, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is the day of the Lord. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. It is unlike any other day. And so we need to give it the credence it deserves, because Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Christ is the Lord. So when the Bible says the Lord made the heavens, it is Christ who made the heavens and the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is the only revelation we have about God is Christ. And so whenever the Bible talks about the Lord's day or the Lord's Sabbath, we are talking about Christ. So who is Christ? Who is Christ? Next slide. Who is Christ? In the beginning, we are told that God, The Word was Christ, right? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Christ is the Word of God, right? By him, all things were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. Yes? And so the Bible also tells us in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Luke chapter 4, 16 to 19. And please, if you have your Bibles, make sure you're turning the pages. I have my slides here to help us move along and to highlight some points. And the Bible says, and as his custom was, right, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, yes, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath was created for man's freedom, for man's peace, for man's enjoyment, for man's rest in the completed work of Christ. And yet and still, somehow, it got messed up in the sense that sin came into the world. And so Christ, in coming into the world, Christ came in the world to bring back what man had lost. And so the Sabbath, from week after week after week, the recurring Sabbath is to memorialize and to remind us of the works of Christ that he made and that he remakes. As you are being remade and as I am being remade, Christ wants us to never forget. And so the Sabbath stands as a reminder, as a memorial of his work to set the captives free, so we could once again enjoy Sabbath in the kingdom of heaven. And so, freedom is what we are looking for, and freedom is what we need, and freedom is what Christ came to restore. And so, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So without Christ, well, you could say, if you will, that God is deprived of something. He is deprived of his power. But since there is Christ, God is not deprived of his power, because he himself is the power and the wisdom of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. In him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. How many things? All things were made by him and through him and for him. He is before all things and hold all things together. That is amazing. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by what? By the blood of Christ, the blood of the cross. What this is telling me is that when Christ made the earth and the heavens, right, everything was at peace. Everything was one. Yes? And everything, all the sons of God rejoiced and sang for joy. And he held all things together. And then man decided to sin. Of course, first it was Lucifer in heaven, and then, of course, on earth, in the garden, it was man. And so there was a disruption, if you will, of the things which God had made. There was a disruption, yes? And so Christ came, the one who created all things and holds all things. Now he must fix the problem that has been created in the all things. For to bring reconciliation means that there has been some type of a rupture in the things that he made. So he comes to bring reconciliation, to bring peace, but he had to do it a legal way. For the wages of sin is death. And so he did it making peace by the blood of his cross. And that is where we celebrate Christ and him crucified. So he could bring all things back together as one. So the Sabbath, my friends, is for man's benefit. It's for whose benefit? For man's benefit, right? We read in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man in the sense that the Sabbath was not made against man. Some people think the Sabbath, oh, is a burden. Oh, this, you guys, this is works. You know, we live by grace. No. The Sabbath was made for man. For man to enjoy the blessings of God. When God made man, when God made Adam, yes, he had already finished the creation, yes? And so when man was made, the only thing man had to do was to enjoy and rest. And so how could the Sabbath be work? It is rest. It was made for man's benefit. It was made for man. It's not arbitrary. It's not God saying, you keep the Sabbath because I'm God, you know, you better keep. No. It was made for man's blessing and benefit and enjoyment, for man's rest in God's complete work. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Sabbath is about life and it's about godliness. It's about bringing us back to what God intended when he created the world. And that is life and godliness. That is what Adam had before he sinned. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. Hallow my Sabbath, and there will be what? A sign between you and me, or me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord. If there was ever a thing that we need to know, and the only thing truly that we need to know, it is that God is the Lord. And the Lord is Jesus the Christ. Because he is the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. And so, we talk about the sign. What is a sign? The Sabbath is a sign by which the people are to remember and to know God. When Adam experienced his first full day, what was he doing? He was experiencing God. He was knowing God. He was to remember God. The Sabbath stands as a memorial to know and remember his creative works. And so Romans chapter 1 verse 19 tells us, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes are clearly seen. His what? His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God's power and Godhead are revealed in the things that he has made. And Christ is the Lord of the things that are made. And the Sabbath memorializes that forever and forever. It's a great memorial of all creation. It is a token given to people, to humans, to Adam, of God's love and God's power. And so when I look at the Sabbath, it's not a thing that I have to try to, oh, I better make sure I don't. No. It is for me to rest in the love and power of Christ. It is for me to rest from all my works. Are we tired of trying to work to save ourselves? The Sabbath gives us a memorial of God's power, the one who created all things and holds all things. Now, am I part of all things? Are you part of all things? Then you best believe that the all things include you and me. And so Christ holds you and me, and he has come to bring us back unto himself. And so it is a sign. So we read, remember what? Psalm 111, verse 4, the first part. This is from the Literal Standard Version. He has made a memorial of his wonders. A memorial. I like that term. The Sabbath stands as a memorial of all the wonderful works of God. It is not a burden. It is a blessing. The good news says the Lord does not let us. And listen, he does not let us. Not that he doesn't want us to forget. He does not let us forget. Because week after week, the Sabbath comes around. And the New King James says that he wants his wonderful works to be remembered. And so, my friends, if we need to know God, we need to truly appreciate the Sabbath, because the rest of the Sabbath is the rest of God. And to know him is to love him. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Why? Because I am the one who created all things and hold all things, and I gave all things for man's enjoyment, for man's peace, for man's rest. That I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. If you want to get God happy, just rest in him. And the Sabbath is a memorial of our rest in his mighty work. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is Christ we're talking about. In Christ and his Father are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want some knowledge? Look at Jesus. He is the fullness of knowledge. If you want to know truth, look at Jesus. He is the fullness of truth. He himself is the truth. And there is nothing better to know or worth knowing than to know Christ. And Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath memorializes who Christ is. And so people tell me, people say, well, the Old Testament, the Sabbath was for the people in the Old Testament, it was for the Jews. When was the last time you read in the Bible at creation that there was a Jew around? When was the last time? It never happened. The Jews came thousands of years after creation. The Sabbath is given to remember the creative power of God, yes? But his creative power is the power of the gospel. Hence, that which celebrates creation also celebrates our redemption. Can somebody say amen? Christ is the creator and recreator, for in him all things we are created. Colossians 1 verse 16. And so Christ, who created all things, he also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is recreation combined with creation. And so if you are in Christ today, you are being renewed by the renewing of your mind to have the mind of Christ. Because there is nothing that God desires more than that you and I will be with him where he is. And the only way that could happen is if we become like we used to be before sin. And the Sabbath stands as a memorial of what used to be. So every time we keep the Sabbath, we are saying, Lord, make me back into what I used to be. And so, my friends, all things that pertain to life and godliness are in Christ. And so we keep the Sabbath and celebrate the Sabbath because we are in Christ. We read here, Christ cannot be separated from the Sabbath. He cannot. You can't separate the man from the Sabbath. So that is why, if we go back to Psalm 111 verse 4, Psalm 111 verse 4 tells us, he has made a memorial of his wonders. We read that. The Sabbath is the standing and permanent and summary memorial of his Sabbath, of his creation. And the moment he says that the psalmist, immediately he also says, Yahweh is gracious and merciful. It is creation and recreation, and it is all transacted by what we talked about last night, the story of the cross, by his precious blood. John chapter 1, verse 14, we are told that he came and revealed the Father to us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, yes, and truth. What do we need in this world? What did we ever need? What did Christ do when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath? He read from the Word of God the truth, and the truth is full of grace. The truth is about setting the captive free, letting the bondage go, setting us free from that which has bound us and which through fear of death have all our lives been subject to bondage. The power of sin. The Bible says he came and he conquered sin in the flesh. That the righteousness or the right doing of the law may be fulfilled in those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. God is a spirit, my friends. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To fail to keep the spirit of the Sabbath is to fail to know true Sabbath keeping. A man could close his shop down. He could close his business down all day from sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday evening. And he has not kept the Sabbath unless that man is resting in the completed and perfect work of God. Unless that man is keeping the Sabbath in the spirit, he has not kept the Sabbath. Even though he closed his shop down. In fact, the man may even rest in his bed and not even get up until to come to church on Sabbath morning. He's resting. But physical rest is not the primary reason why God gave us the Sabbath. When God made the Sabbath, there was no need for physical rest. Yes? It was all spiritual rest. Man had no need to be tired. Man was not weary because God was not weary when God finished his work. And God made us in his image and likeness. God was not tired, and so he had to rest. God was finished with the works which he had done. He spoke the word, and it came to be. And when it was done, he gave man all of these gifts. And he rested. And so the Sabbath, true Sabbath keeping, is a spiritual thing. Now, our physical rest from labor is caught up in that, but primarily, Sabbath keeping is a spiritual thing. So when you close down your business, that is not keeping Sabbath. It is about trusting in the Lord. And even if some people will say, well, how am I going to keep the Sabbath? You know, I have to work. And Sabbath just happens to be the busiest day in the world. Yes? How am I going to keep the Sabbath? You know, I have to take care of my family. I have to feed the kids. I have to do this and then the other thing. A man who truly understands what the Sabbath is and how God asks us to keep the Sabbath, that man would never ask that question. Because the Sabbath was given to commemorate and memorialize that the same power who created all things is the power who sustains all things. And so the man would never ask that question. Because it is that same power who has taken care of him up till now and will continue to care for him until he is restored to the image and likeness of Christ. The Sabbath is a work of faith and trust, and we should never get it mixed up. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he has upheld all things by the word of his power, what did he do? He himself purged our sins. So you see how the two are always going together? They are connected. The Sabbath celebrates our creation and our redemption. And we should never, ever separate the two. The Lord and the Sabbath blessing. Because you see, people need to appreciate, when you and I tell people about the Sabbath, they need to appreciate what the Sabbath really is. It's not some day that we keep. You and I cannot keep, the way you and I think of keeping the Sabbath, that doesn't make any sense. We keep the Sabbath by keeping it. You know, if I give you this pen and I say, hold this pen for me, when I come back next week, I'll get it from you. You keep this thing, you guard it in such a way that you don't want anything to happen to it. You don't have to do any work for it. You just keep it in a safe place. The Sabbath is something that God gave us to keep as a treasure of his goodness and mercy. Matthew 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it. The Son of Man is the Son of God, and it is Jesus Christ, and he is Lord of the Sabbath. That is not an easy thing to say. To be Lord of the Sabbath is to say and to announce that I am creator of all things, and I hold all things by the word of my power. And this is Christ. People say, well, God is the one who made the Sabbath. Now Jesus Christ comes and he changes the Sabbath. What kind of nonsense is that? It is the same Christ, always and forever. Can you find a thing where it is not? If you did not put this pen here, would you come here to look for this pen? No. So the special blessing of the Sabbath could only be found in the Sabbath. And the Bible says that God blessed the day and he made it holy. You cannot find that same blessing in Monday or Sunday. Or Tuesday, whatever other day you want to bring up. The blessing is not there. Now, don't forget, God blesses us every day, whether we keep Sabbath or not, or go to church or not. We are blessed every day. But there is a special blessing that fills up the Sabbath day, because God himself is holy and the Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is one of those blessings that helps us to recognize that Christ was sent to bless us in turning away every man from his iniquities. In fact, every blessing of God is not for you to become selfish or self-centered about. Every blessing of God is to turn us away from ourselves to God. And the Sabbath memorializes that and celebrates Christ as creator and redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, of who? Of him are you in Christ Jesus, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us what? Wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. The power by which he gives these things is the power by which he created the world. God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath, and Christ has become to you sanctification, redemption, wisdom of God, and righteousness. So the Sabbath is for man's sanctification. Can somebody say amen? It's no small thing, my friends. So to lack this understanding is to say that the Sabbath is just some kind of day like any other day. But if you truly appreciate what the Sabbath is, you would never say that. The Sabbath, it's the blessing of sanctification. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be what? A sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. This is what it is, friends. The Sabbath is a memorial of God's creative and redemptive work. Right now, we are being sanctified. Christ is in the most holy place and he is removing sin from the sinner, if you would let go. The Sabbath is a reminder week after week of this mighty work that Christ is doing. And if you're not cooperating with him, I don't care how many times you come into this church on Sabbath, you are not keeping Sabbath. Desire of Ages, we read, page 282. As we behold his power in nature, we find comfort. We find what? Comfort for the word that created all things, in that which speaks life to the soul. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. It is never, ever not about Jesus. It is always about him. Can somebody say amen? It is always about Jesus. And so the Sabbath rest, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. The seventh day, in other words, is the rest of the Lord your God. God says, I am done. You know the type of rest God is having, or God was having in Eden before, in heaven before man sinned? He was having the rest of, I have given man all things, and man is resting in me, and I'm at peace. God was troubled when man sinned because his peace was disturbed. And his work in coming to earth and throughout his work on earth to set the captive free, according to Isaiah, to let the bondage go free. His work is to bring back that peace between God and man. That man would have peace and God himself would have peace. God has no peace right now till you and I are back in heaven with him. So he says, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. We talked about that before. And so Isaiah 58 verse 13 tells us, Isaiah 58 verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my what? Whose day it is? Again? On my holy day. Well, what is the word holy? On my sanctified, set apart day. And call the Sabbath a delight. The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. And since the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that Lord is Jesus Christ, you will delight yourself in Jesus Christ, and you memorialize the Sabbath in doing that. Who wants to delight in the Lord today? The Sabbath is given as a sign, as a portion of Eden lost, that we would continue to remember God. Friends, we must keep the rest. We must keep the rest. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spiritual being. His rest is a spiritual rest. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. God is not tired. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. He rests because he is done. We need to stop working so hard to save ourselves and rest in his complete work. We keep the Sabbath in spirit and in truth. We need to understand that this Advent is. We need to stop feeling like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Like it is a scary thing. No, rest in the Lord Christ and his complete work. He holds all things in his hands and he holds you in the palm of his hands. You are the apple of his eye. He will not be discouraged. He will not be deterred until he has brought you back home with him. So truly celebrate rest. In the Sabbath, we are called into a spiritual rest, friends. So, I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The reason why, nowadays we are hearing a lot of talk about the Christian Sabbath. How many of you have heard that term, the Christian Sabbath? And we are hearing about the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments that we are hearing about is not the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Now, when they read it, it reads like it's in the Bible, except that the fourth one, remember, because God doesn't want us to forget. We just read the words a little while ago. Remember, it's memorialized. The Sabbath day is the seventh day of the Lord our God. But now the Christian Sabbath, they're trying to legislate right now, and before long, it's going to be legislated, and then we have the mark of the beast. Yes? You cannot legislate a spiritual rest. You could legislate physical rest. You could tell the man, well, you got to be rest. You can't disturb your neighbor. You can't do this. You can't do that. You could legislate that. The man could rest from his labor so that he'll get more energy to make more money next week. But the man is not keeping Sabbath. He's doing all kinds of stuff, resting physically. But Sabbath is a spiritual rest. And that is why you cannot legislate the thing. You cannot force people. You cannot force love. You cannot force somebody to keep the Sabbath. If even they were trying to legislate Sabbath, the true Sabbath, the seventh day, it would still be wrong. Because God draws by his love and not by force. It's a spiritual thing. And so, after sin, let's look at Adam before sin. Before sin, the Bible says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. That's what he did, right? Genesis 2:15. Is that what God did? Yes, right? That was his first full day, to rest in God. If you truly, literally want to read this verse correctly, what it does say literally is, then the Lord took the man and gave him rest in the garden he had planted. That's what it means. To tend and keep it. What was Adam supposed to do? What type of labor? Labor was for him to rest in the complete work of God. He didn't have to dig up weeds. He didn't have to dig up thorns. No! It was to enjoy and rest in the Lord's complete work, and keep the thing. Keep it for their life. After sin, in toil and labor. In toil and labor. Oh, friends, that's what sin does to us. But Christ, remember from Isaiah, he went into the temple. That was his first time when he began his ministry after his temptation. He went into the temple and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captive free and to bring deliverance to them who are in bondage. And that's what he is doing for the singular purpose of bringing man back to true Sabbath rest. The Bible does not say that he wanted the Jews to know him. We get the verse. The Bible says all people to know him. Are we part of all people? Is the man over there in Timbuktu part of all people? It doesn't matter if the man is going to church on Sunday. He has just not known that God desires for him to know him, and the way that God has memorialized his ways, his wonderful ways, is in the keeping, the cherishing, the holding guard of God's Sabbath. It's not man's Sabbath. It's not the American Sabbath. It's not the Christian Sabbath. It is God's Sabbath, my holy day. And we don't want to beat people over the head to keep the Sabbath. The Spirit is the one who works upon the heart. When they have understanding of what the Sabbath is, the man just wants to keep the thing. He just wants to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and hold on to it for dear life. Because in it, he is being sanctified. It is a sign that the Lord is making him again like into his image and likeness, that he may be able to come back and dwell in the very presence of God. So the blessings of the Sabbath, the blessings of the Sabbath. We're not going to read everything here. It's a busy slide. But we're just going to compare Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, And Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, when the commandments were read the second time, which is what it means here by in Deuteronomy. But here's what we look at. In verse 2, it says of Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Yes? Is that deliverance? Then it says, remember. Then it ends by saying, therefore the Lord what? Blessed the Sabbath day and did what? And hallowed it. And that day, if we go back to verse 10, is the seventh day. And when did this happen? When did God rest? Well, he rested at the beginning in creation. Yes? Before any of us, the only man who knew about it was Adam and Eve. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Let's go down to verse 15. And let's see what was added. Why did God add something? But here we go. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord had commanded you to keep the Sabbath. God is wanting us to recognize that he is the one. You remember what Christ said? I came to set the captive free. Well, how did he do that? By a mighty arm. By an outstretched arm. And as he hung on that cross, his arms outstretched on that cross, Christ was delivering us from the bondage of sin. He was paying the price that had separated us from him. He came that we might be delivered. He came to set us free, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And my friends, if you would celebrate the Sabbath, if you would celebrate Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, if you would allow him to do his mighty work in you, if you would say, Christ, I just want to love you. I just want to bless your name. I just want to glorify your name. Let the redeemed say so. Then you are keeping Sabbath. You are truly keeping Sabbath. The Bible says in, next slide, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye who labor. Who what? Who labor? Who are trying to save yourselves by works? It is righteousness by faith. It is all in Christ and his complete work. He said it is finished when he was done creating. And he rested. And then when man messed up, he came and he did the work. And on the cross he said, it is finished. The work of bringing man back to me is finished, and now he just has to make it be finished in your own life and in my own life. That's where the blood comes in. And so, my friends, it says, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find Sabbath for your souls. Oh, friends, celebrate him today. Let Christ be made real in your heart today. He is the one that made you. He is the one that sustains you. He is the one that remakes you. Join with him today. Believe the gospel. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ. It is his faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the Sabbath is given to memorialize his mighty works. How many of you today want to say you celebrate Christ truly? You celebrate Sabbath. You're thankful. You celebrate, you memorialize, you commemorate the saving work of Christ. How many of you want to say that with me today? Raise your hands. If that is your desire, why don't you stand up with me and let us say, indeed, indeed, I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today, and he is saving me by his mighty hand. And then share the good news. People, he gave his Sabbath to all people that they may know him. And if there's anything that is the best thing to know, it is knowing God and his mighty works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank you for giving us the Sabbath blessing. It is not a work. It is not some kind of obligation per se. It is a rest. A work cannot be a rest. It is either a work or a rest. And so this afternoon, we recognize that you have given us rest. It's not our rest. It is your rest. But you say, come in into my rest. And so this afternoon, Father, we desire to enter into your rest. Bless us and keep us. Sustain us with your mighty right hand. And may we, from this day forward, when we say we are keeping Sabbath, may it not be some legalistic works type of thing, but may it be that we celebrate the Christ who loves us with an everlasting love and who is shaping us into his very image, that he will come back for righteous people, a people who look just like him. Do this work in us, we pray, for Christ's name's sake. Amen.